Yes, that's what I have to do. Okay. I'm gonna do that real quick. Because I do things really quick. The only thing I've ever done quickly was your girlfriend. Oh, fuck. Hi, kids. It's early in the morning. And we're recording a podcast, in case you hadn't noticed. S-M-O. Oh, right now I'm using this thing called a dictionary. Many of you would not know what the fuck this is. Getting close. That's what she said. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan, look for a safe space. This is not it. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Donald Trump's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, and the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. There's always that. Do you think they're stupid, or do you think they're evil? No, I think they're stupid and evil. There's always a third possibility. Trust me on this. I know, because I've been doing this since 1999. I've been podcasting for 12 years. This right here is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect, homes in on, destroys the motherfucking statist. All around the world, no matter where the statists are, there is no place in the cosmos which is out of range of the nuclear cruise missile of my intelligence. You can go wherever you want to go. You can't hide. Okay, sodom. Sodomize. To engage in sodomy. Okay, that's not helping. Sodomy. Any sexual intercourse held to be abnormal, especially bestiality or anal intercourse between two male persons. I had to look up the word sodomy. Make sure I know what the fuck it means. Any sexual intercourse held to be abnormal, especially bestiality or anal intercourse between two male persons. Okay. Sure. Before I forget about it, I listened to another episode of Common Filth Radio, because I talked about that a few episodes back. And he was the guy who's kind of a Jesus freak. He was going down on Jesus and swallowing a lot of Jesus's cum. And talking about how if you don't believe in God, you can't have morals, which is a fairly traditional religious wacko belief. But he was even taking it a little further and saying that if you don't believe in God, you can't believe in your own thoughts. Because if God didn't create your brain, then your brain isn't capable of being rational. And so if you don't believe God created your brain, your thoughts aren't rational. And it was very strange. But as I said, it was still a good podcast. If you are a right-wing Christian type, you might want to go over to YouTube and find him and listen to him, because you might enjoy him. It's called Common Filth Radio. I listened to another episode yesterday. This time I was prepared to actually take notes so that I could discuss anything he said slightly more intelligently. He didn't really say anything that I found myself butting up against, other than the entire episode was about how because it was the title of the episode. He said it's like the American dream is, yes, the American dream is a nightmare. And he talked about how the American dream has been twisted into all of these fucked up things and acceptance of things that are fucked up and yada, yada, yada. And how the white species is about to go extinct. All of which I really can't disagree with very much. He and I probably disagree about some of the details of how and why this is happening and where it's going, but his overall thesis that he presented in this particular podcast was that the American dream is a nightmare because people in this country have lost sight of right and wrong, good and bad, having standards, not having standards, all of this sort of stuff, which has allowed them to come lost in the wilderness and leaves blown on the wind by the political powers, who of course will just enslave them and shit all over them for their own purposes. And so that's sort of a broad representation of what I think his thesis was. We both agree on that. He and I disagree on some of the reasons. And his ongoing thing throughout the entire episode, and that's why I'm looking up the word sodomy, is that one of the big problems is sodomites. Because there's people out there and they're having sex. And they're not married to each other. And there's people out there having sex with people who are the same gender as them. Which, just to be clear, because you come on this podcast, you hear me talk a lot of shit about the GLBT, KKK, and the fucking homo status and all this other stuff. And what podcast is this, you ask? Well, this is Stating the Obvious podcast from the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I founded the Cynical Libertarian Society in 1999. Been on the internet since 1999. I know you started a website last week. Go fuck yourself. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. She's a sound engineer. She also keeps me on track as best she can. We have the new system with the little yellow card and the red card, like when you're playing football. That's European football, not American football. I was in a place the other day. Don't worry, I'll come back to this, the homosexuals. I'll come back to the homosexuals. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, as you may have heard from the chiming behind me. And winter has finally arrived here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. It's been cold. We got our first snow. It's cold and windy outside this morning. It's a great day to get up early, drag your ass to the studio. Right, Randy? You love getting up early, right before Thanksgiving. It's Tuesday before Thanksgiving. You'll be hearing this tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And hope you have a good one. Remember, one day you're going to die. Okay? Spend your time. Don't spend Thanksgiving sitting around fucking whining about politics. I know those of you who are left-wing statists just can't get over Donald Trump won. But regardless of your left-wing statist, right-wing statist, GLBT, KKK statist, statheist, Islamist statist, homo statist, anarcho-sissy, it doesn't matter, okay? Guys, listen to me. Just stop fucking living every fucking moment of your life for your goddamn fucking ideology and your political beliefs and your desire to serve government and to just, you know, swallow Hillary Clinton's cock and to swallow Obama's cock and to swallow Trump's cock. I know that you have no purpose without God or government to give you a fucking purpose, okay? So just fucking listen to me for a minute. I don't care how fucking into fucking femistatism you are. I don't care how much you hate white people. Just listen to me. One day you're going to fucking die, okay? And when you're laying there on your deathbed, and some of you are, this is the scary part. Some of you, when you're laying on your deathbed, you really are going to lay there and you're going to say, I sure wish I would have spent more time on Facebook posting memes about how racist white people are. Because for some of you out there, that really is the most important thing in your life. And you're the people that natural selection says should be dead. And as you know, if you've listened to this podcast, I, more than anything else, desperately want to turn off the federal government, turn off all the welfare, and let you die of starvation. But that's not going to happen, and I'm a realist. I'm a cynical, not a libertarian anymore. I was in 1999. Now I'm an anarcho-capitalist. I am a cynical, and I'm a realist. I'm a cynical, I'm a cynic, and a realist. And a bit of a, what do you call that word? Randy, that word. What? Nihilist. Thank you. That's why she's here. She can read my tiny little brain. She knew exactly what I was thinking, which isn't hard because I'm either thinking about girls or I'm thinking about girls or I'm thinking about girls. Anyway, it's not hard to know what's happening in my tiny little mind. You're going to die one day. Don't spend Thanksgiving on Facebook fucking posting memes about how the patriarchy is oppressing you, okay? Fucking go. And I know a lot of you don't have any friends, probably because you spend all your time on Facebook posting memes about how the patriarchy is oppressing you. Go out and fucking enjoy your life, guys. Fucking Christ. You're gonna die one day. Enjoy your life, all right? That's for all of you, even those of you that should be dead according to natural selection. The reason you should be dead is because you refuse to have a life. Go get a life, and maybe you'll deserve to live. Anyway, you can send us email if you want to do that. If I can learn to talk. If I can get my voice going. My voice was going great until it's always like that, since we start recording. No pressure. Especially when I'm just babbling, there's no pressure when you have to record. Speaking of pressure for recording, we don't do this very often, but this episode is actually a do-over. We recorded this episode a few days ago, and talking about the same stuff I'm going to talk about today. And when it was over with, I was just like, man, that one really sucked. I don't do that very often. I've put out some shitty podcasts, as you know, if you've listened for many years. You've heard some bad podcasts. I'm the first one to tell you. There are some days when I'm just not on my game at all. That was one of them. That one sucked so bad that I just said, no, we're deleting this one and doing it all over again. You can send us email at God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. I was at a place the other day, and the Colorado State University football team was also there. And there's this image in our minds of football players. Or at least there's an image in my mind of football players, especially college football players. And I gotta say, this was the most pathetic group of humanity I think I've ever seen. They were all sitting out in the hallway. I wouldn't say all, it wasn't the whole team, but there was a slew of them out in the hallway. Just sitting there with their body language. They were slumped. They looked defeatist. And there's more than 12. I would say there had to be 16 to 20-ish of them out there. Every fucking one of them was staring at a cell phone. And these were just the most beta male looking sissies I ever saw in my life. They're looking at their cell phones and just their body languages and their expressions, and they're all slumped over. And they'd get up and walk somewhere. They'd get up and they'd just kind of slouch, crawl. No walking with, you look at somebody with confidence and they walk, like the Jefferson walk, George Jefferson, if you don't know who that is. It's a TV show, George Jefferson, The Jeffersons. It's an old TV show, which I talked about a while back because I watched the first disc of the series. And they were really fucking funny. I might watch, because I have a lot of time for watching television. But maybe I'll put some more of those in my Netflix queue. Anyhow, they just looked like these downtrodden, pussified beta males. And I'm like, what the fuck? I thought of them because I was talking about homosexuals. Just to clarify, so Common Felth is stating that one of the reasons America's going to shit, American Dream is a nightmare, is because of all the sodomites. That was his theme That was his common return to point throughout the episode. It's the sodomites that are destroying America. Not saying he was saying it's exclusively the sodomites. Okay? But that was one of the causes in his thesis is the sodomites are part of what's destroying America. That's why I had to look up the word sodomy. My position on homosexuals. Under Obama, Julia decided to have a baby. My position on homosexuals is that I only have sex with female homosexuals. All right, look, no, I just want to throw this out. I'm not sure why I decided I need to clarify. Here's the deal with homosexuals. Guys, I don't care who you have sex with. I know I rag on homosexuals. I talk about homostatists and the GOP KKK. It's not the homosexual part I have a problem with. It's not homosexuality that is, and this is why I'm getting to this, because this is an area where I disagree with Commonwealth. It is not simply homosexuality that is destroying America. It's not one man buggering another man in the ass that is the problem. Okay, if you're a man and you want to bugger another man in the ass, I really don't care. I really don't. You hate homosexuality. I don't care what you think. I'm here with myself right now. I know what's going on. I don't care about that. That's not the part that I care about. The problem is the statist part. The part where I'm not, where I have to. So under the non-aggression principle, the only thing I'm obligated to do is the same thing you're obligated to do. So let's say you are a homosexual man. I am obligated, under the zero aggression principle, to not initiate violence against you. You are obligated to not initiate violence against me. That's our obligation to each other. Beyond that, we have nothing. And as long as you and I are right there in that realm, you can bugger as many men in the butt as you want. As long as they're consenting and you're not aggressing against them, that's fine. Totally fine. The problem where you and I, you, if you are a homosexual, if you're a homostatist, let me be a little more clear, if you're a homostatist or a GLBT KKKer, where you and I have the problem is where you are using the violence of the government to force me, not just to not initiate aggression against you, but to force me to approve of you, to force me to actively approve and praise your actions, to force me to give you preferential treatment, to force me to give up tax money, which is then used to subsidize your lifestyle choices, right? As I've said before, if I could get tax money to assist me in having sex with the CSU volleyball team, women's volleyball team, I don't think they have a men's volleyball team, right, then that would we'd be on even par. But see, I can't get tax money and I can't get legal protection for my personal sexual desires. But you can. That's where we have our disagreement. That's why I come on here and I call you a homostatist and I call you a GLBT KKKer. So anyhow, Common Filth went off about the sodomites are destroying America. And it's not the sodomite part. It's not the sodomite part that's the problem. It's the statist part that's the problem. As I've said a gazillion times, and that's an exaggeration. As I've said 30 times, in ANCAP dice, you can do whatever you want as long as you can take the consequences. Because there ain't no government to protect you from your consequences. It's not the sodomiting part. Sodomiting, is that a word? It's not the sodomiting part that's destroying Western civilization. It's the part where the state is forcing everybody to accept, to praise, and to subsidize the sodomiting. Anyway, Common Filth Radio, he's on YouTube. I'm going to listen to one more episode because I said I would listen to three episodes. Anytime I get into a new podcast, I always try to listen to at least three episodes before I make a judgment of, okay, am I going to keep listening to this or not keep listening to it? And Common Filth is not a bad podcast. It's just that he's not really bringing anything to me that is expanding my knowledge level. That doesn't sound very good, right? I mean, I did not articulate myself well. He's saying things. Okay, I agree with your thesis. I agree with your conclusion. I don't agree with why we're getting there. And so he's not. And he's interesting enough to listen to, but he's not entertaining enough for me to work my way through it. And it's not intellectual enough. So I'll probably listen to an episode here and there, because I do want to hear some more of his bizarre religious assertions and perhaps take some notes and argue with those a little bit. Because, again, as I said, I have not spent a lot of time in the last few years ripping right-wing, Christianized, you know, theist, statist, a new asshole, just because with the rise of Hussein Obama, the rise of Hillary Clinton, the rise of the social justice warrior, as I've said before, the Christian statist, you know, these people are a low priority right now on my danger list. As I've said about the alternate right, who is the emerging faction on the internet, which I wonder how long it will be before somebody takes over the alt-right the way they took over the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street and all this other shit. I have a lot of places where I agree with the alt-right, but that doesn't mean they're not ultimately my enemies, because they are all statist. But for the moment, you know, as the saying goes, my enemy's enemy is my other enemy. But for the moment, I can temporarily ally myself to a large extent with the alt-right until we've killed off the social justice warriors. And I think also, it will be easier to negotiate with the alt-right than it will be with the social justice warriors. Simply because I can envision going to the alt-right and saying, I wouldn't say that, that's me clearing my throat. I can envision going to the alt-right, let's say that there's this, I don't know, this. We're in a fantasy world, we're doing a thought experiment, there's this convention, we've all come together, and we're going to divvy up the United States of America. You could go to the alt-right and say, okay, guys, me and the other anarcho-capitalists, we're going to take the state of Texas, and we're going to live in Texas, and we're going to do what the fuck we want, and you're going to do whatever you want with the rest of the union. We don't give a shit. Don't come in our fucking country. You can trade with us at our borders. Are you cool with that? Or do we have to fucking nuke you? And they would, and I can envision the alt-right saying, yeah, that's cool. You can have Texas and we'll stay out of each other's fucking way. Be great. See, the social justice warriors will never do that, because the social justice warrior lives for no reason other than imposing their political correct view of the world on other people. I have a lot of disagreements with the alt-right, but I believe the alt-right can be trusted to just leave other people the fuck alone as long as those people aren't bothering them. The social justice warrior is incapable of leaving other people alone, because the social justice warrior constantly has to have an enemy in order to exist, right? And the alt-right, again, this brings us back. Okay, this brings us to something I've talked about many, many times. Having a purpose, right? All human beings want to have a purpose. We all want to have meaning in our life. The Christian, and yeah, I'm generalizing, go fuck yourself, but the alt-right religious Christian who believes in the patriarchy, traditional family, so forth, so on, gets their meaning from God. God gives them their meaning. Now, you can live in a community of people, a town, a village, a city, whatever, a state, and you can get your meaning from God, and you can go about your business with other people who share the same vision of a meaning and the same morals and ethics and beliefs and traditions as you, and you can get along just fine. The social justice warrior gets their meaning from forcing other people to comply with the social justice warrior's vision of how those other people should behave. So if the social justice warrior comes into a town and everybody in the town is already complying with the way the social justice warrior believes they should be, well, this is a problem. See, for the right-wing statist, for the Christian, for the alt-righter, if this person is in a community where everybody shares his values, traditions, ideas, beliefs, worldviews, well, for the alt-right person, well, that's like paradise. Everybody around me is on board with me. We all believe in God. We believe the husband should lead the family. We're into the nuclear family. You know, you're in paradise. Why? Boom! You're done. That's your end point. The social justice warrior, on the other hand, gets her, his, tis, fays, Tinkerbells, its, their meaning from forcing its views on other people. So if everybody around the social justice warrior already has the same worldview as Tinkerbell, then Tinkerbell has no reason to live anymore. Tinkerbell has to go seek out people who disagree with Tinkerbell and force those people to agree with Tinkerbell. Because if Tinkerbell is not forcing other people to agree with Tinkerbell, then Tinkerbell has no fucking reason to live. Okay, so this is the social justice warriors will never allow other people to simply do what other people want to do in their own place. The social justice warriors are, by definition, by the need of their ego, by the need of the way they find their purpose in the life, by the need of what's important to them, they are expansionist. The social justice warriors must always expand. They must always be forcing their worldview on other people, because if they are not, they no longer have a purpose. Whereas my thesis about the alt-right, based on what I have read of them and what I've seen of them and what I've talked about them, is that they would be perfectly happy to have a place on the planet Earth where they can live and just do their thing and be left alone. And thus, while I have many disagreements with the alternate right appears to be a group of people that could coexist on the planet Earth with an anarcho-capitalist society. The social justice warriors will never, no one will ever be able to coexist with social justice warriors, because social justice warriors must always be forcing their opinions on other people, or else the social justice warrior has no reason to exist. They're like sharks. They have to swim or die. I don't know if that's really true or if it's just a myth that sharks have to swim or die. I think it's just a myth. But other than the fact that it's a myth and not really true, social justice warriors are like sharks. Well, other than, of course, too, that sharks are more intelligent than social justice warriors. Sharks are friendlier than social justice warriors. Sharks are more aesthetically attractive than social justice warriors. And unlike social justice warriors, sharks actually have a place in the food chain and a reason to be alive. Yeah, see, sharks have stood the test of evolution. Social justice warriors haven't. Social justice warriors only exist because the government protects them from extinction. Sharks, on the other hand, have survived for millions and millions of years because, natural selection and evolution has made them really fucking good at what they do. That's me trying to talk and drink coffee at the same time. Don't do that, especially if you're recording a podcast. By the way, just so you know, we haven't actually gotten to any of the notes yet for this episode, which are the shit I'm supposed to talk about that I talked about last time that sucked, so that we're re-recording this. But it's okay, because I'm a professional. All right, one more tangenting before. Andy, you're keeping track of all this, right? Most of that was not planned, by the way. I just want to bask in my brilliance for a moment. All of that about statist. Social justice war, same thing. All of that about not being able to coexist with social justice warriors. That was all right off the top of my head. I'm just saying that because I want you to be aware of how fucking brilliant I am. This is why I am the Great One himself and you're not. All right. Hillary Clinton voters. And maybe at some point I'm probably going to have to talk. All right, Randy, wait, where are we on time? 32 minutes. All right, I'll save this. I'm going to talk. Hillary, there's just people who vote for Hillary Clinton. All right, look, guys, you are emotionally unstable. Can we please just, all of you out there, think about everyone you know who voted for Donald Trump and think about everyone you know that voted for Hillary Clinton. And Donald Trump is not the Messiah. Okay, Donald Trump is not going to fix anything. Donald Trump is not the solution. Donald Trump is not going to build a wall. Donald Trump is not going to reduce the deficit. Donald Trump is not going to stop terrorism. Donald Trump, what else is Donald Trump? You think he's going to, Donald Trump's not going to do any of these things, okay? Under Donald Trump, Julia decided to have a child. All right, there's no life of Julia for Donald Trump here, okay? Think about the people who voted for Donald Trump. And think about the people you know who voted for Hillary. And I promise you, the ones who voted for Hillary, they are all mentally broken, immature, incompetent fucktards. Okay. I just want to get this out there. I just want to explain this to you guys. If you're going through your life and you're having a bunch of problems, or you know people have problems, just ask the question, did I vote for Hillary? Did this person vote for Hillary? I'm telling you, the people who voted for Trump, they're not perfect by any stretch of imagination, but they don't have these lives that are filled with drama and trauma and problems and oh, I can't do this, and oh, I can't get to work on time, and oh, my life is falling apart, and oh, I can't pay my bills. I promise you, I know there's going to be a couple of exceptions, but okay, people who voted for Hillary, and I know a lot of them, oh, I know so fucking many of them, people who voted for Hillary, these people are fucking mental, emotional, intellectual, drama-laden disasters. Okay. Here's the story. Friend of mine, person I work with, he has to leave work. He has to leave his job. He has to go home. He has to go home because his wife is hysterical. She's hysterical. Why is she hysterical? Is she hysterical because Donald Trump won the election? Did Donald Trump try to grab her pussy? No. She is hysterical because their dog died. Now you're saying, great one, you are such an insensitive bastard. You are a cold-hearted, dog-hating, woman-hating, racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic piece of shit. How dare you say something bad about a woman? This poor, innocent woman, because they're so strong and independent, who is hysterical because her dog died. Great one. How could you be such an uncaring fuckwad? You obviously voted for Donald Trump. You obviously grab women's pussies. Well, let me tell you something, people. Nobody knows more about grabbing pussy than I do. Maybe not in the history of the world. And it's true, I have grabbed some pussy in my time. But that's not why I'm making fun of this woman. Let me explain to you why I'm making fun of this situation. Because both of these people voted for Hillary Clinton. This woman is a 40-fucking-5-year-old adult. When you're 45 years old and your dog dies, you can be sad. That's fine. You don't get to be hysterical. If you're 8 years old and your dog dies, you can be hysterical. But there's a little more to it than that. This dog that died, this dog was something in the range of 300 years old. I know it's an exaggeration. This dog was ancient. This dog has one eye. This dog is crippled. This dog has been on medication for years. This dog was in so much pain. They had to, but I'm not making this up. This exists. I'm not making this up. They were getting marijuana medication for the dog so the dog would not be in pain. They had to give the dog marijuana-based medication so the dog would not experience pain. This dog has been dying for years, and they have kept it alive with drugs and emergency rushes to the vet clinic every other month. The dog has been kept alive artificially for their emotional pleasure. When you're one-eyed, crippled, on fucking 7 different kinds of medication at the vet 6 times a year, been dying for 3 or 4 years, dog finally kicks the bucket. And you're a 45-fucking-year-old adult. I'm making fucking air quotes around the word adult. You do not get to be hysterical unless you're a mentally damaged Hillary Clinton voter. See, normal people accept that blind, crippled dogs who have to go to the vet 6 times or more a year and are on 7 different kinds of medication eventually die. Because normal people are not so intellectually and emotionally broken that they cannot accept that animals die. Nor do mentally sane people keep animals alive and pump them full of painkillers. This is what a Hillary Clinton voter looks like. Speaking of that, also in the show notes for this, I was going to play, you know, and I'm just not even, because there's too much and it would take forever. I put some links to some videos of, where the fuck is my pencil? There it is. A link to some videos, some of these videos of talking to people on college campuses. I use the term people loosely. And these college students showing just how fucking stupid they are. I was going to go through and make fun of the grace part. Who's this? It's a picture of Ronald Reagan. I don't know. Like a picture of John McCain. I don't know. And they show him, who's this? Oh, that's Kim Kardashian. Oh, that's Kim Kardashian. Like, oh, And then there's another one where they're asking, so when did the Civil War end? Or no, they're saying, who won the Civil War? And people are like, I don't know. And the South? And we did? And then they're asking him, so who is it? Who was Brad Pitt married to before somebody? And they're like, oh, Jennifer Aniston or something. But, you know, it's like it just. And these are voters. These are Hillary Clinton voters. I promise you, these are all Hillary Clinton voters. All right. Talking about the election. Let's get to the notes. Now that Donald Trump has won the election and saved us from a Hillary Clinton presidency, and there's a video about that in the show notes also. Many people are coming out going, yeah, see, look, I predicted Donald Trump would win, and this was how I knew, and all this other stuff. I'm not really buying any of it. With presidential elections, you always have a 50-50 chance of being right or wrong. You're going to make your guess. Oh, shit, I got to talk about that, too. I tangented way too long, but I was having fun. It was good shit. And now, after the fact, it's always easy to think, oh, yeah, I was right that Trump was going to win because of blah, 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 blah. And this brings back an important philosophical point. The difference between being right and being right for the right reasons. You may have been right that Donald Trump is going to win. And again, I predicted a Hillary Clinton victory because I thought those 6 to 9 million people that voted for Obama would show up and vote for Hillary, and they didn't. And I still maintain the real reason Donald Trump won, despite what everyone's saying, is because those 6 to 9 million people didn't show up. And so far, I personally have not seen any reasonable explanations for why those 6 to 9 million people didn't show up. I also think we'll never know, we'll never have a good explanation because you're trying to intellectualize, to guess at, to figure out the motives of 6 to 9 million people, and you'll never do it. People are easy to predict and guess about as big groups, but individually, you don't know. You can be right about an outcome, but you can be right about the outcome for the wrong reasons. Here's my classic example of this. I actually got this in public school. Back when I was in high school, this is one of the few useful things I got out of public school. In chemistry class, chemistry teacher, who was a chick, in one of the first days of class, she came in, she had this beaker of clear fluid. And she was talking about scientific method and how you come up with a hypothesis and then you form a thesis that supports your hypothesis, then you test it, all this other stuff. So she had this beaker of clear fluid, and she shakes the beaker, and when she shakes the beaker, it turned blue. And then she sits the beaker down, and it slowly went back to clear. And she says, okay, here's my thesis for why this is happening. There are little animals that live inside this fluid. And these animals are transparent. And when you shake the beaker, they bounce against the sides of the beaker and they bruise really easily. When they bruise, they turn blue. And so that's why the fluid turns blue when you shake it. But then after you stop shaking it, the little animals heal really quickly and go back to being transparent. And her point was that her thesis perfectly explained what was observed. The observable phenomena was explained by her thesis. However, it is very unlikely that her thesis was accurate. And thus, you can come forth with your, well, this is why Donald Trump won. And okay, you're accurately describing something that happened. Donald Trump won the election. But it's not very likely your thesis is really correct. And this is why I put a lot of emphasis not simply on being right, but being right for the correct reasons. Okay, so this is why when somebody like, for example, Common Filth, comes forth and says, white people are becoming extinct. Okay, you and I can, you know, Western civilization is collapsing. The American dream has become a nightmare. Okay, you and I can agree on that. Right? We can agree that when you shake the beaker, the transparent fluid turns blue, and when you stop shaking it, it goes back to being transparent. Right? Common Filth and I are observing a phenomena, and we agree that that phenomena is happening. The problem lies in our thesis for why this is happening. His thesis for why this is happening is that people have rejected God, and there's too many sodomites. Now, the reason for this is because of statism, because of social justice warriorism, and ultimately all of the, there's all these sub-causes, but it all ultimately comes to statism, right? The social justice warrior, without the state to force people to do what Tinkerbell wants Tinkerbell to do, what Tinkerbell wants them to do. The social justice warrior, without the state to force other people to comply, is powerless. If you want to save Western civilization, if you want to save the patriarchy, if you want to save the American dream, if you want to save Western civilization, if you want to save white people, you have to accurately identify the threat. The threat is not a disbelief in an invisible man in the sky. The threat is not one man buggering another man in the butt. The threat is the state forcing you to give your money to the man who buggers another man. The threat is the state forcing you to bake a cake for somebody you don't want to bake a cake for. The threat is the state forcing you to not say certain words, to say these other words, to associate with a certain group of people. The problem is not disbelief in an invisible man in the sky. The problem is the state forcing you to do things. And until you can make that leap, you're always going to be solving the wrong problem. And your leaps, your conclusions, they have to be based on reasoning and logic, ultimately. We had the Rape Malena thing show up, right? The photo. And I will link to this in the show notes over on Snoops.com. There's some investigation into, is this a real photo or is it doctored? They show some evidence it might be Photoshopped. They also show some evidence of some stills from a video. And they say, well, look, there's this other guy who looks like this and he's holding a sign that doesn't say that. And I think the stills from the video look more Photoshopped than the Rape Malena thing. The point is, here's the thing. Okay, with something like this, was there actually a person at this protest holding a sign that says Rape Malena? Or is this fake? We will never truly know. Especially now, more than ever, photographs have always been fakeable, but photographs are more fakeable than ever now. Data is more fakeable than ever. Yeah, I worked in the biomedical research field for 8 years. The amount of scientific research, which is completely falsified, that I am aware of, is pretty expansive. I don't care that it's peer-reviewed, okay? Information is easy to falsify. Photographs, easy to falsify. If your worldviews are informed, if your worldviews are based entirely on, well, I saw this picture on the internet, or there is this data that says, right? If you're against guns because a million babies get killed every second by handguns. The problem with that is when you find out that those statistics are false, right? If you believe we live in a rape culture because 1 in 5 college girls is raped, when you find out that 1 in 5 college girls aren't actually raped, that is a complete bullshit lie. Well, if that's the basis for you believing we live in a patriarchy, well, you can no longer believe we live in a patriarchy. So wherever you're at, whatever you need to always be seeking to base your worldviews and your philosophical views, base your philosophy on first principles that do not reduce to relying on data or pictures or memes on Facebook. Okay, let me try to give you an example of what I mean. Non-aggression principle, zero aggression principle. Do not initiate aggression against other people. Do not allow aggression to be initiated against you. If you come to me and you say, great one, last year, zero people died in the United States because of handguns. Okay, well, zero, still, don't initiate aggression against other people. If you come to me and say, great one, last year, 100 people died every day from handguns. Okay, that does not invalidate zero aggression principle. If you say to me, women are raped, okay, still doesn't invalidate zero aggression principle. If you prove to me beyond any fucking doubt that the Rape Malena photo was photoshopped, you still haven't invalidated zero aggression principle. If you prove to me there's an invisible man in the sky, no, zero aggression principle still stands. If you prove to me there is no invisible man in the sky, zero aggression principle still stands. The zero aggression principle does not rely on anything other than an acceptance that people own their own bodies, and taking their bodies away from them is a bad thing. Your statistics are meaning, your statistics have no effect on it. Okay? Your memes on fucking Facebook have no effect on it. Always attempt to reduce your philosophical beliefs to a first principle that does not rely on data. Because data, pictures, images, events, all of this shit can be and probably is falsified.